We're going to start the meeting here in a few seconds, but I wanted to say that we changed the format of our meeting, so this is a planning meeting. But because we started this and we were not quite ready with our budget for the first 30 minutes or so of the meeting, we're going to be finishing the budget and adopting it, as well as swearing in our newest commissioner, Jesse Avers. Okay. So I'd like to start tonight's meeting of May 23rd, 2023, with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Tom, can you lead us on? The United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to say, we interviewed for our town commissioner, and it was very hard to finally come to a decision, but we did pick Jackie, and it was anonymous on that, and thank you.
Thank you. Yes. I appreciate the opportunity. So we're swearing in, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I think Jackie, you can stand over there by the cabinet.
Okay.
Get you near our town logo. I'm going to hold the football.
That's an important part. Hold that football. You'll raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Jackie Avers, do swear or affirm.
I, Jackie Avers, do swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And that I will be faithful.
That I will be faithful
and bear true allegiance to the state of Maryland
and bear true allegiance to the state of Maryland
and support the Constitution
and support the Constitution
and laws thereof
and laws thereof
and that I will the best of my skill and judgment
diligently and faithfully
without partiality or prejudice execute the office of town commissioner according to the Constitution.
According to the Constitution.
And laws of the state.
And laws of the state.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I just need you to. Okay.
Can you go to Washington and get that done?
Yeah, really.
I remain silent.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard, Jackie.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
See what we can do. Richard, I'm going to turn this over to you and to Julie.
Hi, Julie. Did she go away?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Julie, can you hear us okay?
Last Thursday, we had a town forum to go over the budget line for line. I could certainly do that again tonight, but I think tonight's really more about discussion. If anybody has any areas that they think need to be revised or changed, the total of the budget is $1,669,000. I gotta get it close. 585. Mm-hmm. And it balances out when you take out the utility funds at the back. We have a zero balance and the budget is balanced as is. Is there any discussion or
I do not. I mean, we did talk about it in depth.
Mm-hmm.
Over the past month. I think you and Julie and Kathy and Mary, you guys did an awesome job about getting this, especially Julie putting us where we are now.
Yes.
I'm happy that we have a
balanced budget.
And the fact that in the future, now that we can go forward, that if we do need to see an amendment, mm-hmm. we can do it as it occurs, not
yes.
right.
Yep.
Where the only thing I found it finally.
You're in there.
Oh, yeah. No. 630 Water Street. Where are we putting that money towards?
Julie?
It's
supposed to pay off the loan that was used to refurbish that place.
It's not supposed to. That money
on that house. But because it was used, it was decided, because we had to do so much work to get it to be for what it was. Once that loan is paid back to the utility fund, then it would go back to being for Parks and Rec.
Because I've never, ever found, I went way back, and I still couldn't find where it was put back into, you know what I'm saying? That's all I was saying, because I didn't see it.
It was supposed to
go into Parks and Rec.
No.
For
after
kids.
After the loan was paid off.
Right.
And then it's supposed to come back to the kids. Okay. Because that's how it was deeded.
Well, yes. Where does the money come from for utility. The period of time that it was vacant? If we were paying off a loan?
It's to our utility fund.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not an outside. It's to our utility. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's supposed, for the money that we used to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
How much was that? Do we know?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah.
It's supposed to.
Julie might have that.
It was supposed to go back into the utility fund. And then it was supposed to come back to what the house was deeded for.
Right. Okay.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. That we're going to need to know that number so that once we pay that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we can
keep an eye on. We can look into that. Yeah.
And the fact that Julie's just getting things together. Am I right, Julie? Since we're just getting things together, we'll get that.
Keep an eye on that.
You weren't here for some of this, but there's a we reorganized everything.
Right. Oh, I understand.
And
that.
The new accounting software will be more evident and clearer. And we can keep track of things like that.
I understand that. I'm just saying that has never been apparent to where that money has gone.
Right.
Even prior to, and Brian and I talked about this before too. We could never.
Well, it clearly hasn't been, because I didn't. Exactly. I wasn't even aware of it, having done the budget. So,
So it's where did we?
Yeah.
Where did it go?
Yeah.
It was a sizable amount.
Yes.
So.
Right.
And it was supposed to be. We still have a little bit to do.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be I forget.
But
it was a lot.
Is this original renovations, or was this the more current stuff where it was painted, the heating and air conditioning, waterproofing?
This was all of the stuff that we just did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everything, but I'm saying, even from when I was on the board before.
Yeah.
The money.
So there's, it still carries. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Any discussion amongst the commissioner? Any additional thoughts? Or
no, just that we need to keep an eye on that.
I don't think I'm the one that should make the motion. Someone probably should.
Do you want it to open one more time?
Yeah, we could, if the public has any comments or questions.
About the budget.
About the budget, yes.
Okay.
All right. Let's consider it ready to vote. Can someone make a motion?
I will motion to approve the budget.
I have a second.
Okay. Is there, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. The budget passes. The other thing we need to do is to have a resolution about the taxes. We are not raising taxes. I want everybody to know that we're not raising the taxes.
That's
a rewind. But this resolution we have to pass every year, and it has to go up to the county so that they know
what to collect for us.
What to collect for us for the next year's property taxes. So, Brian, do you have anything else to say about this ordinance?
Well, the resolution is just to adopt for the Board of Commissioners to consider adopting the tax rate that we used last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is generally property values go up a little bit each year. So we can expect maybe an increase in revenue in the range, projected range of $5,000 to $20,000 mm-hmm. for property taxes. Over.
They've gone up a lot. Mm-hmm.
The resolution spells it out, I think. The estimate, compared to last year, what was collected, I believe, was $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is there any discussion?
No, I think it's a good idea. I think we should do it. I would make a motion to approve resolution 2023-06.
A second.
I heard.
We all have to sign though, right?
Yeah.
We have
a there's a motion. Ryan
gave me a clean copy.
There's a motion and a second.
Oh, we got a vote. Sorry.
There's a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ayes have it. Okay. Before Brian goes in to talk about, and Brian and Bobby Lee.
Yeah. Let's be back.
Okay.
Be back.
About the.
Skip this item or?
Yeah. The only thing I want to add is the reason the rest of the banners haven't gone up is the brackets didn't come. They weren't in the packet. So we're working with them to get the bracket.
Oh, okay.
So that's I questioned it at the budget meeting mm-hmm. and Bobby called me immediately after and he goes, it's not that we don't want to, we don't have any brackets. So that's the only reason they haven't gone up over in Trinity, Cool Springs, Scott Gardens, is because we do not have enough brackets. Mm-hmm. But Brian is talking to Nina to get us the brackets. Okay.
So the map between your packet, it's a little bit of a pause, not having the material. I guess it's maybe a mixed blessing. It gave us the opportunity to. I went on Del Marva's website to figure out where all the screen lights are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's on this map in yellow. Red is, it was just my attempt at trying to evenly spread throughout the whole town the banners.
Mm-hmm.
And so the red dot. We ordered 49 banners, and on this map there's only 37. So we have some extras if we see gaps. This for the first time for me, I put some.
We can't. All the black lights over there.
Mm-hmm.
Then that might not be on your map.
It may not be. Because I was just going off the map.
No, because we actually went over there with Nina and we counted every black light.
Right. That's for the little ones. Right.
That's what we're talking about.
And the little ones are on some of the little ones on some of the front. This map needs to be field checked now. Yes.
Yeah, the only ones that are big on that side are the four overhead ones in Trinity.
I think particularly one of them, some of them got to come down on the top of that might have to come down, come in, and it's too busy. But I think maybe you also just kind of come up with what you feel more comfortable for you. So I can get them up. I'm not taking down, putting up.
I understand. Down. I'd like to have more. So we're going to have
here's another
that way.
Well, we ran out.
Right. Yeah. And I know that. Maybe you should go first.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the first time that's happened.
Okay.
We did it the very first time.
At the cemetery, I can take one off at the Weasley's, but I can take one off at the White House. That would be.
You signed the wrong one?
It would be even. Do it. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Somebody did.
And I sent them up the way I did because I was trying to allow for your Christmas lights. Right. So I skipped the ones with the plugs so you could put them lights on there later if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. You understand? And that's where your reefs are going. So I didn't know if you were going to have reef lights. What you were doing. So that's how I set it up like that.
Okay.
Ryan's right. He said it's kind of looking busy. So like I said, we could take the one out from the cemetery, going, pull it down.
There's only two.
The one at Louise Lane, pull it down. The one at
Rob signed on my line.
And
so busy. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I that.
We're destroying that.
But one. You just got to figure it out to tell me what you want.
And, you know, this pause, just to have the conversation, not just the banners, but the leaves that we want to put up, seashell lights, you know, take a look, spend some time with this map.
Summer.
Oh, summer, okay.
Spend some time with this map and just make sure, you know, hopefully Bobby only has to go out once more with his truck.
One thing that I noticed, I see them on the right-hand side coming this way. Mm-hmm. That's different. So do we want to keep them on that side? Mm-hmm. Or do we want to take the ones that are down on that side and get more going through the rest of town?
Yeah, plenty to go through the rest of town. You don't need to take them from there to go through the rest of town. You got plenty of banners. You just miss some brackets.
Right.
Okay. You got banners, the long ones, mm-hmm. to go through okay. there over in Trinity.
Right.
You got plenty of banners.
Well, I'm not, because
the looking busy,
there was only 20 something that were ordered of the long ones.
You got a lot of, there's a lot of long ones. I don't know. I didn't do the box. All I know is I put up everything we had, every bracket we had, and it seems to appear that a box of brackets does a box of banners, however many of that as it is, but it seems like that's the way it's working out.
Okay.
Yes. So we got a box of banners, a box of brackets, box of banners, box of brackets. Now we have three more boxes of banners. And no more brackets. So yeah, it's not working out anymore until we get the three more boxes.
And we're working with Nina to get those.
And then, we can put them up. But another thing, reason I skipped them is if y'all chose to do something for Christmas, so you could do like a holiday thing. So, because the banners come off real quick once mm-hmm. the brackets are up. So it's mm-hmm. not hard just to unclip and clip like happy holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have your wreaths the very next one. That's why I set it up like that mm-hmm. originally, because that's what mm-hmm. my thought was. I said, well, you're going to do holiday stuff. So mm-hmm. if I go every other pole, I leave that open, you could do a Christmas light, a wreath, Christmas light, and the banners could be all in between, and you could have it rolling through town. That was my main thought of why mm-hmm. I set this drag up the way I did.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But now it's too busy, and I get it, because there's nothing in between it, but you didn't know what it was going to look like till you put it up. So there it is. We can take it down.
I want to tell you, for process. July, the seashells need to go up.
All the way down.
All the way.
So that would be in between, like the way I have it set up. It would look silly if I would pull the three down that I just said at the cemetery, Louise Lane and the White House. So it's just something y'all got to go through, because I'm not a different person.
I need to take the map and drive through everywhere. I need to go through the town. I need to just drive and start marking.
I went through and mapped it for you, but my feeling was you're going to make the final decision, so I feel that you should do the mapping and tell me what you're thinking of. But that's why I set it up like that, because I kind of set it up every other pole and left the empty pole for the plug in case, okay, this time you're going to do the lights, this time you're going to do this time, you know. So I always left that space. So that's why I went every other pole, because the that's just all I'm trying to say.
And I don't know.
That's why I did that.
Because this is new for over in the developments with the black lights. The wreath is going to go on top. So I don't know mm-hmm. if it's going to look right with the wreath on top and the banners right. at the same time.
I have a picture. Can I send you the picture of it all?
You sent me the picture of the wreath, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They look nice. I mean, you could just do that.
I think they look nice.
I think just doing mm-hmm. them would be
okay. I think just the wreath would look better. Not the wreath and the banner.
Yeah, you could just do the wreaths. People mm-hmm. really liked it. When I was up there, people were stopping going, that's cool. Is it Christmas in Mass? And then
I would like the seashells to go up for Christmas in July.
Well, we missed that this year. Good.
Aw.
Live, May, June, July. Oh, no, we didn't.
All right, I will go through this weekend and I will map it.
I just don't want to put them up, you know, taking down.
I only have one thing I'm doing this weekend, so I will go through and I will mark it down.
What are we doing with the sample banners?
I don't know. You sent her an email.
Well, next time she's in town.
Okay, because we still have that.
I know an email went to her, but I don't know. But you answered that.
Right.
Okay. So is that good? I can go around, map it, and then I will text it to you guys to look at. How's that?
Sure.
Okay. Is that okay?
I like it. I'm on board.
And I know you're gonna hate me about the seashells to go up in July.
Just gotta rise. We gotta get balls for them. Lots and lots of balls.
And the Christmas ones will go up in November.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots and lots of balls.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, tell us how many we'll get them.
I'll get you the box that we got so you know what kind. Okay. So they're LEDs.
I'm a color.
Again, and
yeah.
Oh, yeah, somebody should pick a color too.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything else you needed? What?
It's not about the banner though. And I don't want to put five in the spot. I was going to mention something. Over where the boat trailer parking is, so when they launch the boats,
yes,
the homeowners right across the street are very concerned about that pole getting hit. And they've been talking about putting some type of concrete banner, baluster there or something. Until that happens, do you think it would be difficult to maybe paint safety yellow, like 4 foot up, wrap it with tape? That way, it has a fine line.
I could do three bowers just like I did around the hose bit that's in the middle of that if you want. It's just three pieces of pipe, some concrete. I can pencil that in.
That would be great.
Thank you.
We don't end up
no
having somebody do without electric because we might have to paint them. I mean, they might have to paint it yellow.
We did that yellow.
Yeah. Because they end up launching 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
To go fishing.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, we were talking about maybe taking some of that fence down. We'll have to worry about that another time.
We did. It's the telephone pole that they're hitting.
Yeah, we took
the fence down.
Well, I know, but we were talking about taking even more of that fence
mm-hmm. down. But they still have to come up over the...
Yeah, I know.
We'd have to level that whole area out.
I'll put 3 billion volumes around it, just like I did water spigot.
They hit it.
And they hit it, it'll just hurt the trailer, it won't hurt them.
Yeah, exactly.
I got you.
And I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but thank you.
Consider that, Tom.
You're awesome.
Well, it was related to streetlights.
Mm-hmm. Wind slide, didn't you? Good man.
Yeah.
The next part of our meeting, we are now going to go into the planning part of our meeting. And this is something that we need to work on as a group. This has not been updated since 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And when this was done, MML put it out and the state put it out that we needed to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a template more and I'm not saying we rushed it, but we need to make it more modern and more up to date mm-hmm. and what's actually the needs of our town.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different things in here because I just took a class. I shouldn't say it. on business continuation and it deals with their computers and stuff like that. So that also needs to be included, not just
mm-hmm.
on things that are there. Did you want to come up to the table, Mike?
Mike, wonderful. Pull a chair.
I eventually went to ask for the fire department to come in on these mm-hmm. And also our local businesses to come right. in on this, the churches, so that we can get everybody's input because
Katie when we're here from school.
Yeah,
the sheriff's department.
I don't know who's there. So as we move on, I just would like to have other. We need to work as this as a group, as a town, because mm-hmm. when emergencies happen, we need to all come right. together. So this is going to probably take a little bit of time, but I think if we work on this,
mm-hmm.
We can get this kicked out and rewritten and get it updated.
Mm-hmm. You guys just did yours, right?
Correct.
Okay. So that's one of the reasons he's here mm-hmm. because they just rewrote theirs. And
Dr. Cecil County.
Yes.
Mike's with Cecil County's Department of Emergency Services, and I think it's page 5 of this Municipal Emergency Operations Plan guidance document. It says, if you're a town One of the most important things we should do is supplement the county's emergency pretty good timing, I guess, right?
And you told us this is coming, so I mean, it's, but I know that 2003 is too long. And it was updated in 2009, but it's still, this needs to be looked at every year just to make sure nothing new happens, mm-hmm. and we can just sign off on it every year.
And I might have really good guidance for it, because it can seem kind of overwhelming.
Yeah,
you know, we got other plans, you know, a comprehensive plan, watershed master plan, emergency operations plan too. It doesn't have to be this crazy overwhelming planning process, right? Like, it would be pretty strategic. It could be really focused in on these, what are the sub elements, like creating outlines. What elements we want to take care of, you know, start tracking a little bit better and coordinating a little bit better.
The best thing I can do is, if you want to mind, refer to Perryville's mm-hmm. EOP, if you want to share that up. I think that's going to probably be your best viable reference and guidance. The reason why I reached out to Charles Perryville, they said that they're willing to share it. So theirs is called a response plan. Our county's is emergency operations plan. It's not too much different, it's just titling. Basically, you want to identify some of the stuff that you have in here currently, but kind of tailor it to more, what would the town do for X emergency? So it's more of a command and control aspect. So where would your command post be? How are you going to communicate with your townsfolks? What are you going to do for this scenario? As we're doing our watershed study, what are you going to do for flooding? How are you going to, you mentioned door to door. How are you going to communicate with your folks? Are you going to use what we mentioned today during the meeting, Code Red, messaging, rely on the county for your mass notifications, or if you wanted to purchase your own notification systems, how are you identifying that with your community? Just as an advisor, you guys do what you need to do. Each municipality has that right. I'm just advising a little bit about emergency operations plans. So what you currently have is more of a hazards mitigation plan, which all the municipalities in the county just adopted. So my recommendation would be, we adopt Cecil County's 2022 hazard mitigation plan.
We already did.
So I would just recommend putting that in your emergency operations plan, yeah. Leave it as such. And then the rest of it will be more of kind of similar to what Perryville is using. The reason why I chose Perryville is, one, they're allowing us to use that, and two, it's a municipality to municipality. You're not looking at the counties. Counties can be a little overwhelming for you, and half, three quarters of information doesn't apply. The county is looking more of a bigger picture, right? We're looking at the 107,000 people. You guys are looking at maybe a couple thousand in the town. So it's just, so that's why I kind of referenced this. They're pretty squared away for the most part.
These lights be, I have a huge reflection right across. I can't read anything.
It's too bright.
No, it's not too bright. It's
there's a glare on the
screen. There's glare on the screen.
Emergency operations plans have come a long way. FEMA and their ultimate wisdom, they like to do the whole 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Just my recommendation, to me, it can appear as though that you need to be doing it subsequently in order. That sometimes may not be the case. You can skip A to go right to G, for all you know, depending upon the emergency and the likelihood of the situation. A tornado, you don't have much time to. So what are you doing for the immediate situation? Are you going immediately step A, or are you going to step G? For our emergency operations plan, we just did bullet point items of, here's what we want to do and accomplish. Whether or not you get the one bullet item or 10 bullet item, here's the whole itemizations of what we want to accomplish for that specific emergency. So kind of breaking it down more simplistic. We've looked at other examples between counties and other municipalities and cities, and some can be very complex, some can be very simple. So I would say the simple, the better. So agreed identifying some of your risk using what the hazard mitigation plan has in place, but narrowing down a little bit as to what would the town do as an executive legislative power for your local towns people. That's what I'd recommend for writing your EOP.
You think, Mike, would it be good for us to look at maybe, Mary, the first chapter 1 or 2? Yeah, could you go up a little bit? Where it talked about emergency conditions or general response. Would that be kind of instructive? I mean, it's only a couple pages each section as far as elements we should be thinking about.
It's dark.
Mm-hmm. Which one do you think, 1 or 2 or both?
I mean, you guys can look at this in the future and just gauge what exactly you guys want to accomplish. So, for example, they had Perryville used, I believe it's an infectious disease. That's a new one that's out there now relating to COVID. So a lot of municipalities, counties, cities, states are adopting that one as well post-COVID to identify what we do in a similar situation. Once again, how is your command and control going to react, communicate with the people? What is your governing body going to do to continue, as well as tying with, if you guys choose to do it, which we're looking at as well, is called a COOP, a continuing operations plan of executive order, who's next in line, points of contact. So yeah, they kind of go hand in hand a little bit. Mm-hmm. Our EOP, refers back to the COOP plan a little bit, looking at your powers, who's passing what. For example, a county executive can pass powers down to the CSCIN director, emergency services, who can act as emergency powers for X items. So in this case, could be your commissioners can act as, or your town commissioner, town administrator can act as, that sort of thing. So something to consider when you're writing your EOP, or can just be looking at different subsections, kind of like what Perryville has. Mm-hmm. What we do for this situation, he talks about there, the communications. Would you guys first report here for an emergency, try to relay that out? Would you, for example, for our emergency operations plan, we're trying to be more cohesive and put the word out a little bit sooner. So if we get, as a county, gain some information of a weather update, we want to be on like somewhat of like alert status, and then we notify our partners. Say if it gets out of hand, then at least we notified our other partners, so then they can stand up, as opposed to, oh, we need to scramble and hurry up and get things together. So it's like a soft warning of, hey, we're aware, we're paying attention, just keep this in the back of your mind.
It could be something simple. We had this come up over the summer, right? We had a street block right in the middle of town. We blocked Market Street. I mean, that's a big deal. Like, it cuts the town in half. And just, you know, what's the best way to get that out to residents? I mean, we do email blasts, but that doesn't reach everybody. Reverse 911. We have a system set up to call everybody in that.
So that would be what we described today is the code red. Mm-hmm. However, what you talked about, some of the pros and cons, is the con aspect is that it's all self-registered. Mm-hmm. So you have to go to code red, you have to register, create a profile. You also have to make sure the information is up to date. Information is only as good as what you put into it. So if you don't update it, or say you forget about it, you get a new cell phone number, you don't go into the system and update it, and we send a notification out, it may not get to you because it's not jiving because you got a new cell phone number. The system doesn't remind the users to go in and check their stuff. So that's the con aspect of it. The pro aspect does offer some sort of mass notification systems, which talked about today for a town administrator meeting was what templates, if they choose to, would they want to alert their town's people of. So it's, for example, for you to use truck stop door blocking Market Street, say you want to develop that real quick for a template.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a big blockage in the road. Watch traffic, be advised, or use Route 7, go around or do something else. Mm-hmm. Then we can try to work together on that aspect. So that may be something, come up with a template we can use for future use.
That's, mm-hmm. That's just for communication.
We have that for the school. So I have like templates. Because mm-hmm. normally when there's an emergency, you're not clearly thinking. You're like trying to, and it might come across jumbled. I don't want to panic people. So I have a template I use of, if there's a medical, like if an ambulance has to come to the school, mm-hmm. parents see the ambulance and I want to let them know that everything's okay. Like, I have a template for all of those things.
which is nice, right? To think that stuff ahead of time. So when it does happen, it's like, I just go to my menu of options. Mm-hmm. I know what to do.
And then you just tweak it as needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I've communicated information without knowing all the information. Like if a bus is late and we had an accident here in town, like I didn't really know what was happening out there, but I knew I had a bus, two busloads of children that were mm-hmm. being impacted. And I went, there's parents that are not worried that their children were late. You know, like you have to think about all these different pieces.
Right. Yeah, I guess the other elements like command center. What would happen, you know, if we couldn't use town hall? Go to the fire station? What if we couldn't use the fire station? Where would we go next? Yeah.
Make recommendation probably go to, if you can make your way to up to 107 Chesapeake, to DS. So maybe yeah, we can stand that up in a heartbeat for you guys. So if needed. And that's the type of logic and mindset you need to have. And realistically, realistic is both buildings are in the floodplain. Mm-hmm. So you need to think about that too on a standpoint, correct? Where would you utilize that?
And even setting it up at the school, part of that issue is this bridge, which mm-hmm. I know when Isabel came through, they used the school as mm-hmm. a substation for the fire department because it's split.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things, and that's part of what I was thinking about is talking to the other businesses, churches, and the mm-hmm. school mm-hmm. so that we have areas to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And even part of that is if there is tornado or mass outages in the winter or when it's 100 degrees outside with 100% humidity, is there places that are warming cooling centers for the residents too?
The county has that option, so you can reach out to us and we can reach out to the county health department. They do have shelters already in possession for different options for weather related. They did stand up during December during the Christmas time when it was that cold snap. Oh, they stood up for that.
Yeah.
And even if something happens that all the internet goes down in this building, how are we going to get, are we taking the computers out of here? Are we moving them somewhere else? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things, part of even business continuity and all that too. So, yeah.
The thing about, do you guys have a generator or?
That's the other part of it.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. So that can be built into it, or think about how do you back up your files? You guys use like a cloud-based system or something, or is it you can remote tap into any other computer? So mm-hmm. something like that.
And then transportation, I think that's an area with the next element. We know, and we talk about flooding specifically. I mean, that's our number one natural hazard. We get cut off
mm-hmm.
just after a significant rain, but not, you know, total monsoon tropical storm
mm-hmm. situation.
Yeah, we can get cut off just by a severe thunderstorm in the summer. Yeah, just not, we don't have to have a monsoon. Both of our access points out there on 7 shut us right off. You are landlocked in here. And you can sit there and tell people, don't even try to come home because you're not going to get here. Or don't try to go out.
You're in or out.
Yeah.
And we were talking, you know, we consider bringing up again that connection from Cool Springs up to Route 40.
Exactly.
Just for emergency only.
Right.
You know that it's there.
And I know him, and I still think I should go to him as a town and just say, look, we need this just for an avenue of escape for serious emergencies.
Evacuation now.
Yeah.
Can you scroll down a little bit?
I just think we should shut that down and we should try.
And even though I want everybody to know, Route 7 is an evacuation route.
It is.
And snow, they do get it cleared, but water, they can't because it becomes 8-9 feet out there.
Yeah.
And people continuously, when we had the bad one, I went up there and sat in the big truck and couldn't go through. And I kept trying to stop people from. And three of them got stuck, and one had kids in it, and that irritated me so bad. Because she goes, can you help me? You have the truck. I said, no. I'm sorry.
When was that?
Last summer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, evacuation even gets into our citizens, you know, with special needs and elderly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have to go and check on them.
Yeah.
And we do have one resident in our town that is on, is it L,
yeah,
whatever. That, is that what it's called? I think it is. I don't know.
The heart.
Yeah. Mm. And they used to come check on my mom because she was on 24-hour oxygen, and they always made sure that they had power, but my dad bought a generator. But they would always come over and make sure that it was up and running, and it was like, I got cold chills.
The next item there is exercises. Mm-hmm. All about drills and exercises. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Katie is the queen of the
plan, very similar to the CCPS CERT plan. Like, mm-hmm. There's a lot of similarities there, where it's like a same framework for each school. But yeah, there's a lot of similarities. Mm-hmm. I can help with it. I got to jump back. Some Clinty's on there. He knows the best.
He knows them too.
So for a town standpoint, doesn't have to be county, but you can alert us. Like, you can exercise, say, your evacuation plan. Say you want to tell a resident, say, we're going to practice doing this. Mm-hmm. Here's what we're going to do. So I would recommend, if you were to create this, create it, but also start doing education. We talked about flooding and flooding teaching moments, having more of a community aspect of it. And educating your public, so then they know, what is your plan, what's going on, what do you anticipate doing? Mm-hmm. So when something does come up, they're not like, no, I don't really want to do this. No. Mm-hmm. You're also gaining buy-in from them as well of, hey, this is what we want to do for you, for your health and safety. Okay. This is what the town commissioners agreed upon for your health and safety. Here's what we're going to do with our other partners as well to aid in the situation.
And we've talked that I know in the past when the big storms have rolled in, and I know the flooding is going to happen, I've gone door to door and people have looked at me and said, we've lived here, we know.
So the first thing that went through my mind as you were talking was the population has grown by, I don't know what percentage, mm-hmm. the people that are new and don't know that, and they just see this woman in a big like truck as they go by. Yep. Yes. So it would be
hits them like a ton of bricks.
It would be nice.
No idea. They have no idea.
Hey,
Brian.
Yeah.
George Stanko, how you doing?
George.
I know Mike is there, and Mike, they have that program for home preparation where you have food, water, etc., in case of an emergency.
Yes, FEMA has a website dedicated to that for like flooding or preparing for an emergency.
That might be useful to the town because Charlestown will be isolated. You'll not be able to get people in and out, and it might be for a day. Charlestown will have to make do with what Charlestown has because nobody's going to get past Broad Creek if it's flooded. Nobody's going to get past Peddler's Run if it's flooded. That's just a water issue, and the state's going to close the roads down. So Charlestown's pretty much isolated. So you kind of got to let the people know that, and you got to prepare for that. At the fire department, we're set up for that because we know what we have to do. But for the townspeople that are new, they may not know that. And many examples of people driving into the water and having their cars flooded up to the driver's window. So part of it's going to be notification to the state to get the road shut down as soon as possible so people don't do that. And the rest will be hunkering down until the storm's over.
Mm-hmm. Good suggestion.
Right. Especially if the fire company's already figured that out. You guys have, I guess, elements of a operations plan that you can share with the town?
Well, we kind of fall under the county, but to be specific with the town, we're not going anywhere either. So we're going to be there through the whole storm. We've got the small boat. We've got, you know, water rescue gear. We've got trucks that'll get where we need to go.
I guess I'm just thinking,
but the fire department has living quarters in there when it's a bad storm. Then we just house a crew. I think your biggest problem is going to be once the storm hits, you're not going to get law enforcement in here. So you may want to think about if there is a storm coming, putting somebody on duty, but just knowing that when you do, they're not going anywhere but in town because they're not going to get out of town either like everybody else.
Yep.
That brings up a good point for your law enforcement aspect. As a county, we work with the sheriff's office and have those partners in play in the state, or you guys don't really have that. So I think that's a pretty good option there too.
I didn't even think about that. Thank you on that one.
They are normally so busy though. They are running their butts off. They're like at every single, you know, light out, and they're trying to direct traffic. They're trying to, I mean, we got to understand that too, that they are busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they still got to run calls.
And I think with us finally getting the generator systems going, that will help. Getting that, we need to get it at the water tower. We need to get one here, and that too. So,
yeah, I mean, there's just no way not to have generators. And the reason
is there a generator for town hall?
No, that's the next thing to do. We don't have one here. We have one. We're getting it for the pump stations. We're going to be doing one for the water tower, but this is the next thing that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have it though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know people are going to call town hall when there's an emergency, and if you don't have power, we set ours up. We have a generator that comes up automatically, and our boardroom is a control center, emergency operations center, for which the town could make use of, which is the way we designed the building.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a little sense, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Coordinate.
And that's part of what I working with the resources that we have to see what's out there so that if something happens to the fire department, mm-hmm. that they can't mm-hmm. use their command center, that we have a backup and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you guys have a backup, George? If your ESC doesn't work, county ESC?
Yes, it's the courthouse.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's the courthouse.
And that's the only other place to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're not going to get out of town anyway, so we're stuck.
This is true.
Oh, boy.
Okay. The next thing that's up there?
What else we got?
And tonight is an informational gathering thing so that we can...
Lizards.
I thought you said the lizard.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. This was a good idea. You know, we just talked about partners. Obviously, this is specific for Perryville, but you know, the state police, Maryland Transportation Authority,
still applies.
County Public Works.
It still applies.
Yeah, all that stuff.
And one of the things that I, because we're meeting with DPW now monthly, is to get an MOU with all of our neighboring towns,
mm-hmm.
As well as the county, so that if emergencies do happen, there's mm-hmm. reimbursables that can happen, mm-hmm. and that we can work with each other.
Yeah.
Which we don't have at the present moment.
Wow.
Brian, do you guys follow or have you ever heard of the NIMS, National Incident Management System, Incident Command Structure System. Mm-hmm. Have you guys done any training on that or anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend diving a little bit into that. The basics, you can do it all online. It's through FEMA, independent study courses, IS courses. Mm-hmm. The basic core are four. And actually, if you don't mind, if you can go on to the web browser, brought this up earlier today. Just type in CISO County Government Department of Emergency Services. Yes. So this is our new county webpage, by the way. You can see little tabbies and whatnot. You can go through them a little bit later, The section I want to bring to your attention is the training and education tab. Yep. Then should be another breakdown of additional training and certification. Yep. And then from here, it should be something about FEMA, independent study courses. You can go in there, generate a student login if you don't have one. There's a way to register for one. You'll need that to do the quizzes at the end for certification. And there you have quick links to the ICS independent study, ICS 100, 200, 700, 800. Those are your basic core concepts for the national management level system. For the higher leadership, executive management will be ICS 3 and 400. So that looks at your 10,000 foot view of a situation. I mean, a flooding is certainly part of that aspect. Mm-hmm. Those would be in resident courses. MDEM, Maryland Department of Emergency Management, has them. DEMA, Delaware Emergency Management, has them. So you can go to their websites. You can go and register for the classes. Then you can go there and they're all free. You just have to generate a user login and make sure you keep the information for future use. And then just do the study quizzes and have a general idea of what's going on. So if a fire chief comes up to you and says something and you're like, what acronym are you talking about? You have a little bit of understanding of it.
Yeah, an intro to that NIMS course looks like a good one.
Correct.
IS 700.
Mm-hmm.
That's a prerequisite for being on this planning steering committee.
That's up to you guys. That's up to you guys.
Added to the millions of trainings.
Yeah,
more training.
One class. More training class.
So, someone recommend.
What was it under? Cecil County Emergency Services.
Under training
and free. I wrote free.
That is.
It looks like Perryville gets into different types of emergencies, like blizzards, flooding.
The flooding.
Hurricanes.
On the area. Yeah, they identify their hazard, and then also they broke it down as to what would they do for those emergencies, which is good.
You were saying for flooding, Ralph?
For our flooding areas, getting in and out of town and leaving. Is there any way we can set, like, just a rough idea? A pole there that's marked, this is your water level now. This is your water level now.
I think so.
Because people are going to try it until they're like, oh my, that is 9 foot. I'm not going to do it.
I think that's an important part of educating our community. Yeah.
And we can have it afterwards.
And I've seen those. Down at, the last one I saw was down in Dundalk. There was like an area that you kind of went down and they have like these 10 foot poles that are there. And it's like, I'm like, I don't know, the water gets this deep down here.
I think a lot of people get a lot less nervy about trying it.
When they can see.
When they can see, okay, that is going to take us away.
And the fact of it doesn't take much for your car to be swept away.
I was going to say, it doesn't take but inches. Yeah, for your car to literally hydroplane right on down the.
I don't know, but I'm sure we could probably do some research to find out.
Well, it'd be a speed. It would be a speed at a certain amount, and then after a while, it would just like that.
What?
That's all state highways, so they would have to. They would have to. You'd have to contact state highways.
Yeah, they'd have to do that. Yeah,
that is.
We can't put that. We can't put it out there.
We can.
But the fact that we're going to be meeting with DP or with state highway about other things, that is something
you can ask them.
Yep.
Ask them to do it. Yeah. Add it, Brian.
He that SHA list is getting
long. He's running
out of baby steps. Baby steps. Okay. One thing about blizzards, and I tried to do this before, especially with parking so narrow and our trucks going through. That on if the storm starts on an even day, you know, park on this side, or if it starts on an odd day or whatever, that we put that, and that's education to help with our trucks be able to plow and not sideswipe.
Well, the only place you really have a problem where that happens is in cul-de-sacs is really mm-hmm. where you're getting at. It's really not real common on these side roads.
Okay.
It's more mm-hmm. common over, believe it or not, over in Scott Gardens, mm-hmm. Trinity Woods, and cul-de-sac areas, because they're not parking in their driveways because they don't want to shovel their driveways. Yeah. So all of a sudden, the storms come in, all their cars are out of their driveways.
Oof.
So, you know, to plow a cul-de-sac, you got to maneuver. So chances are them getting in your way are pretty good. Mm.
And if they do park in the south side, you're just plowing the snow up because you can't come around.
And that's silly, but people don't think like that. Yeah. They're just mindset is, oh, I'm already on the road. All you have to do is shovel out this little bit. I don't have to shovel out this long driveway.
As small as those streets are, I think we should say no street parking.
Yeah, no, that would be great.
If yeah. you just say no I'm sorry, parking, but no street parking here in Georgia. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yep. They have got to park in their driveway.
Right, it's for Main Street parking.
Yeah.
But on these little roads, it ain't too bad because it's
it's fine. The rest
is fine down through here. We
just make a lane out, like you're saying, get out of town lane. We just, at first, we just make it like get out and then. And then we widen it as we go. Yeah. And then by the time the storm event's over, we're ready. And it's, mm-hmm. but initially it's just a one little stretch just to get mm-hmm. in and out of it. So you can just continue doing what you're doing.
Of course, we live in a crazy world nowadays. It doesn't snow here as much as it used to.
Oh no, what's that?
It's due.
Next year, we're due.
I started looking back at things. We do. The history is showing it's coming.
2004.
We're coming back into La Nina, so good. That brings the bad poor little one.
Plenty of time without it.
Mm-hmm.
Go to PA. You can go up there and snow
and visit and then come back.
Yes.
Okay.
In our plan, we've added like diagrams and pictures of some of our assets. Where's the fire station? Where's the police station? In your case, it doesn't apply, but where's the generators? Where's town hall? Where are your assets located? So you can go on there and identify it easier. Some departments will create what's called like an annex. So it's like a more of a detailed description of your incident. For this, it looks like it's all kind of combined. So, for example, one of our most recent projects is we created a rail annex for train emergencies. So that's one of the things that we've been working on. And then we subdivided that into either passenger or freight, just to make it easier. Is it people or is it cargo? Just make it real simple, easy. So that's what we've worked on as well. So that's now involved in our emergency operations plan, but as its own subsection of its own special hazard.
Mm-hmm. I think for us, it's just a passenger line.
Correct. Amtrak.
They
pull sometimes at night.
Do they share?
Oh, they share.
Can be freight and passenger. What about terrorism, Mike?
That sounds I don't see it here, but it doesn't mean it's going to occur. But I would throw in there active assailant. Or a shooter or something like that. For example, if you guys don't know, Port Deposit had a serious incident a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and there's just an after action report on it the other day internally with our own law enforcement partners. And we learned some lessons learned as well. So it's within town areas. I missed the whole scenario. Somebody that was threatening the public. Yeah.
But not in a building.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, hey, Mike, Sergeant Kalinski, you on there?
He's not.
Oh, he left.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really good at active shooter training.
Yes, he mm-hmm. is. He did the training pretty much for CCPI.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of information on that.
What's next?
It's after a terror.
Or even you can think about someone that's trying to purposely hurt your government property buildings. So somebody that wants to take out your water tower for any reason, I don't know why, but let's just say that's the case. You would have a plan in position for that. Obviously, and contact Sharon's office and go down a little checklist item. So here's what we would do for this nutshell idea. Every scenario you can't always build for, but at least if you have an idea, a framework of here's what we would do for X, Y, and Z, then at least gives you an idea of what to start out with for your initial setup.
Yeah, like we don't have to figure out all the details of one particular scenario, but at least the first couple steps, right? The first few steps would be better than what we have now.
I mean, you could even have, instead of like terrorism, we could have like a person, the people that are arguing over putting their boats in.
Okay.
You know?
Essentially turn into a more serious
Yeah, situation. And talk about threats. There are threats.
That would be C-Town TV.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yes, it would.
It's really between my husband and I. Mm-hmm. I have between other people.
Domestic
dispute
down there on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we videoed that, they would never believe us.
Mm.
I mean, it is. Mm.
I could ask my school resource officer, too, if the next time we do an Alex drill, if I could invite the team. Because we try to keep it very calm for the students, because we don't want the students to be overly scared, because I think a lot of them don't fully understand what the active threat could be.
Right.
But, there may be some lessons that we could learn from what we're teaching the children about how to get away and leave a situation.
I'm asking a question that I don't know.
So, okay. No, it's fine.
If the kids can get out that back, do they go down through here and come to the town center?
So they first go to the athletic field, because we don't want them to cross the road, because we're calling for emergency services. These roads are going to be flying. There's been cars flying to the school.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want kids to cross the road. So we're going to try to get them to the athletic center and then get them over this way as soon as it's safe.
So if that would happen, does town hall also get a call that we could, that we assist you?
I believe. I mean, yeah.
There's
in the plan to. that you're going to get a call.
Yeah.
That is in our plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have the number for the fire department. I actually had the last plan to even let the Wellwood know, only because I was thinking of a place that could hold as many kids that we have. Because like our kids wouldn't fit here. They probably, they could fit in the bay in the fire department, but I was thinking
that they can fit in the tent.
So we had we could use the tent as a reunification place.
Right.
Hopefully we never need to know that. But
and that's something that once we move forward, that we're all the businesses and churches that we all kind of work together with that.
Absolutely.
We have
more people to go over and help her and the teachers at the field to get these kids if they have to be moved further away.
That's a good point too, because I do have a way. I send out, now Mary gets a ton of them, but I send out texts with updates about the school, and sometimes it's like wear your green shirt tomorrow for Pride Day. But if there's something like a bus incident, or if there's something I need to let people know, we do like this blast email. I have a way to add community members, so that's something I could even share that link. So then I don't always pick community members. Like I try, like if it's a field trip for pre-K, I try to only do pre-K. I don't try to do community members. But on my Sunday updates and such, I do normally share with communities. And if there was, God forbid, a really serious emergency, I probably would be doing that blast for everyone to help that can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Question for schools. Does each school, is the principal like the head of the emergency action plan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not cohesive throughout.
It's a structure. So we have a template that we follow to make sure that we consider all these different pieces. But then like Conowingo has a response plan if something happened at Peach Bottom, which I don't necessarily have to plan for that in Charlestown, but however Perryville Middle does, because their buses go into that area that's at risk. So there's pieces that are different for each school. And when we get feedback on our CERT plan, like at Charlestown, they probably would look at how we would respond in some situations, being a town school versus, you know, Rising Sun that doesn't have a lot of homes nearby and things like that. I mean, there's some homes near Rising Sun Elementary, but it's not a community school like us, you know, like we have some unique situations. So they try to give us feedback on that. And the principal and assistant principal writes it. And then we train like five deep So if God forbid there's a situation where in the office we're being held captive or something, mm-hmm. then there's other people in the school that have had training that can lead it, but all the teachers mm-hmm. know it inside and out. So they should be able, and we teach the kids now. We never used to teach the kids, but we teach the kids, if there's a crisis, get out. Like mm-hmm. we will find you. I would rather find you back at the athletic field than right. know where you are waiting for us to tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's part of our teaching now.
Mm-hmm.
As scary as that is.
Yeah.
But
I think that's the smartest thing they ever did.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Instead of, well, I have to wait for my teacher. Mm-hmm. I have to stay right here.
Yeah.
Stand right there and get shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know? No.
Okay.
It's the it's smartest true. Thing.
Not the one across the street, one of the youngest ladies. Is that going to be underwater? What?
The church mm-hmm. will not, mm-hmm. but to get to it, yes.
Hmm.
In certain areas. The developments will be able to get to the church. A lot of this side of town might be able to get to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Us on that side will not.
Mm-mm.
The only place that we can get to is to the school.
Mm-hmm.
Because on that side of town, we are more of an island. The rest, because this stream goes 7, we're cut off on this side, and if it's mm-hmm. the stormwater ponds at the pits go over on 7, so we mm-hmm. can't go that way. If we go out on Mountain Hill Road, that bridge that's right there will go under, and if we get past that, we can't go any further because the underpass is underwater.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. we're stranded.
Mm-hmm.
This, we have support of Cecil County, but does the military, does Aberdeen have equipment, you know, that they can help in emergency? Now they're in Hartford County, so.
The guard.
I was going to mention National Guard also.
That won't even be an option, really.
They don't have come up before during the blizzard.
It's a lot of pieces that go into that, but I would not consider them.
Blizzard mm-hmm. that we had.
Yeah.
I was in the trucks with Jeff and Bobby,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't get medical providers mm-hmm. or
into the hospital,
mm-hmm. and the guard came out in their Humvee, and they were coming into areas to pick people up to get them to the hospitals, and they were also assisting with. Medical calls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Because they came out. I was still on duty back then, and they came out and were like giving us rides to go answer calls if we couldn't get to them.
Right.
And then Adam's Jeep and them gave us vehicles so that we could get around.
Mm-hmm.
And then so did Williams. Pete and them gave us vehicles at Elkton, and the other ones gave Sheriff's Office some vehicles also, so they could get around.
It wasn't APG, it was
National
Guard. Is state
because it's state,
It was where National Guard
space is
under the order of the governor,
right.
There's a lot of other steps that happen before that position occurs.
Yeah.
So every incident starts at a local level. So here,
mm-hmm.
and then we go to the county, and then county go to the state. The state goes to the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
So all these checks have to go through up and down before it even gets to that point.
Yeah.
So if that was the case, if you guys tell us, hey, we ran out of resources, okay, county steps in. Mm-hmm. So then the county will pull our resources out you guys. If that's not the case, we'll reach out to the county. The state. Yeah. And then the state, what we would do is raise it up to the governor. Then there's another plan in positions called a EMAC. Mm-hmm. So it's a mutual aid within the different states.
Mm-hmm.
So it came about from Katrina primarily, where the different states has brought in resources from all over different places.
Right. Yeah.
So Delaware could help, PA could help, so on and so forth. But that's one aspect on a big, big scale.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to looking at offense, I would consider looking defense. Mm-hmm. So if you're saying people are landlocked, Well, then you need to consider at some point in time, we mentioned this before, of a time constraint of at what point in time, maybe be with your water level idea of, hey, at 5 inches, we need to throw a red flag, call the warning sign to evac. Mm-hmm. So you pull evac. People are number one. You can't replace people. You can replace property. You have property insurance. Mm-hmm. We have the resources to house that. All the high schools are set up as shelters. So if you call in for the county, you let us know. We'll get that ball rolling with our emergency support partners with the Mass Shelter Needs folks. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case and we know that, we can start the ball rolling on that. So if you guys are considering that, that is an option for that position as well.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Or if you guys want to buy a really big old military 7-ton or 2.5-ton, you can do that too. It'll get you to and from the water.
Right.
But something to consider, we utilize public schools for the buses for transportation. So we do have our own idea of what we'd use to help communities out. So don't always rule us out either. We have resources too. Mm-hmm. We also need to consider other factors too. So if you're saying you're going to be landlocked, is it best for the people to hunker down, or would it be best to shelter them, have a place to be, have generators available, right, have things to plug in your devices for? You're going to have hot shower amenities, food for your people for maybe 24, 48, 72 hours max, and then bring them back in once the water recedes. Mm-hmm.
What's the history for a length of an event here on average?
Four days.
4 days.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't
just water.
We didn't have electric. Yeah. We didn't have anything.
Wow.
Nothing. The two restaurants actually opened up for residents because they had generators.
Yeah.
But
I cooked out front on my front porch and handed food out.
We were out in 4 days.
And yeah, that'd be good. I remember something like that.
Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily just the water. There's the after effect.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
we were using the jet ski up and down my road to get people their stuff. To try to help them get their stuff, you know?
There was that, and then that big windstorm a couple years ago that took me almost 12 hours to get from Aberdeen here. And then all the trees and
all
stuff.
All the trees were down.
So it's not just we're locked.
Mm-hmm.
It took because of how bad that wind, that freak windstorm.
That was just a couple of years ago.
I was going to say 2017, I think.
Yeah, wasn't that long ago.
The tornado went right through
I'm talking about the one that 95 bridge was closed. Yeah, the 40 bridge was closed.
All the bridges were closed. That was just
3 years ago.
Yeah, that was just a couple of years back.
When Nick was still in school. He was in middle school. He's 21.
Hasn't been that long?
Yeah.
God, it doesn't seem it.
Nick was in middle school, so he's 21 now.
Right up next to the school.
That was straight. They rolled that in a straight line.
Yeah, that's what they.
Oh wow!
That's all mine.
It was 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Took my whole flagpole out.
So, what's the next thing on that?
I think we're good. I think it just drops into.
Power outages. And that kind of goes hand in hand.
No, I was looking ahead. I mean, it gets into kind of specific operations details for different buildings, you know, things to check.
Right.
Kind of like exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which they have a lot.
For your mass notifications, does the firehouse whistle blow all the time for a call?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It does?
Yes. Yeah.
So
it was once for inlands, 3 times for fire. Mm-hmm. I always wondered what 2 was, you know?
It's either 1 or 3.
One or three. Yeah. There isn't 2.
No.
Thank God.
Well, 2 could be public.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know.
I was on a conference call, and the woman on the phone, she had asked me, how do you relay to your community? Is it using sirens from your fire department? Is it sirens from the nuclear sirens and the EPZ of Conowingo Port? How do you utilize those sirens? So I don't know if you want to consider that. If I know that technology is up and coming, I don't want to break tradition in any means, sometimes desensitizing. So say just floating the idea, not saying whatsoever, floating the idea, say that you got rid of the siren, but you say it's only for emergency use only. We're going to blow it for 4 or 5 or continuous numerous times to get everybody's attention. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm not trying to break tradition. I'm trying to tell you guys what to do. Mm-hmm. Just bringing some thoughts and ideas to the table of how to warn your public if they're not aware of situations.
That would definitely get their attention.
George, is that something that we can do if he's still on there?
Fire trucks have PA systems, so do the cars. So you could go around the town with a PA system. You'd mm-hmm. need a pre-planned message to broadcast, and you just have somebody talk over the PA.
Mm-hmm. That gets their attention.
Mm-hmm. We use them for the Conowingo, you know, the peach bottom drills. If the sirens mm-hmm. aren't working, we have to send a car up there to do a PA announcement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it'd be similar.
Yeah.
Okay. George, do you have anything to add? I know, like, right now, it's just brainstorming.
George, is there anybody, any partners that you feel should be at the table who might not be here tonight?
Well, State Highway has a state road that goes through town. Mm-hmm. They can help you to a point, and they also plow that road. Mm-hmm. In snowstorms. County roads might be an option for Carpenter's Point and parts out of town, but they're going to be swamped in an emergency. So state roads going to be swamped in an emergency. And I like Mike's idea, defensive. If you're not going to be able to get out of town, then you better be able to deal with being in town. And mm-hmm. that's a different kind of preparation. You got to have, I mean, we've got the firehouse that has the hall and the kitchen. But just getting a generator for town hall is going to be important because you're going to be fielding a lot of phone calls. People are going to call and ask, what's going on? What do you want me to do? They're not going to know that everything's out because you don't have any power, and they won't know who to call. They'll call 911, and mm-hmm. so they'll inundate the county system. Mm-hmm. So it's having a capability of operating out of your administration building is very important. And generators are not hugely expensive, but for you guys to power what you need to power in an emergency, it's probably a vital piece of equipment these days.
That and internet.
Mm-hmm. And we've got to realize too that we may not have internet,
yeah.
and we may not have a phone system either.
No, since the phone system is internet.
Exactly. So
you would have to get out that if this mm-hmm. happens, you yes. need to call this number or right. whatever. Right. Yeah.
So
we have that at the school too.
Right.
So we put like the app on our phone. So I
yep. can still. So you can still. Yeah.
Right. But then again,
and then we're overloaded
and you're not, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they will, just like George said, they will inundate 911. And then poor people up there will be sitting there going, yes, we know.
And
yes,
we know.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I'm just wondering, when the EOC is up and running, is there anybody from the towns represented at the EOC?
Not that I'm aware of, but I'm sure that they can come as well. If it's not part of their EOC plan, that they can certainly come up.
I mean, that might be having a representative up there that can field the calls and then send them back to the town over the phone. This is what's going on, Mike. Be a central point of information for them also.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds good.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anybody else that would like to add anything? Bobby?
Comes emergencies, y'all. But yeah, that's... I think the generators are important.
Yeah.
I think having, you know, this place being alert and being able to answer phone calls is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then
and we ought to get one before you had an
emergency. Yeah. So I think
what? I feel right about thinking.
state highway, getting the state highway about them, some kind of warning for how high that water actually is, like Ralph said. I think it's a great idea.
We actually talked to
state highway.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Hornsberger yesterday, and he did give us some names to talk to okay. State Highway on some other things, but it still would be the same concept.
Yeah.
Everybody found out just how valuable a generator was when Isabel hit and nobody had power for 3 days.
That's
even the
right.
Gas stations couldn't pump. So that's going to be kind of important to have something to run your infrastructure with.
Mm-hmm. We are getting that. I will tell you that the generators are coming for the pump stations very soon. And we're redoing some things up at the water tower. So generators next for up there.
You guys have sandbags?
The last time all this happened, I think we had a pile of sand up there, right? That yeah. People could come.
We stored bags up in our rafters at the maintenance building, but mm-hmm. We should get new ones because they're probably ate up by mice by now. Because we haven't really used them. So yeah, let's put that on our list.
Yeah.
Sandbags, and we'll
because
it's easy enough to get the sand.
Last we got time. Beaches.
Well, we just need the bags to put them in.
And we can call Gary, and Gary will bring us a load of sand.
Well, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Worst come worse, you go down there and get off the beach if you had to.
Yeah. But last time really we went right in Northeast. Anymore. They have
okay.
So we should invest in bags. I don't know how many we would need. What do you suggest?
Hey, does the town have a process for declaring a state of emergency for the town of Charlestown?
At the moment, no, and that's part of why this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of that might be requesting evacuation along the low-lying water areas. You could very rarely is it mandatory, but you can make it a voluntary evacuation. But along with that, you need housing.
Yes.
For them to go, but that's going to have to be part of, especially if you know a storm's coming and you got warning, that's part of the preparation.
Especially for our elderly people.
Can I ask something? Was the school ever an evacuation route for Charlestown, the areas down the hill? Because it seems to me I remember years ago that that's what people were told, but is that true or not?
At one time, this is before Katie, I know when Isabel came through and we all got prepped for it, the fire company had over there, that was like a secondary post because of the split.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that we could come over could to get, the...
Yeah, it's the highest point in town, I would yeah. think, would be the...
We were all told we could go to the school.
Yeah, that's yeah. What, so we would have to get with her to open up the school. So somebody...
Yeah.
I'm closed.
She's closed.
No, I'm closed.
She's such a smart here.
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
I would recommend reaching out to us since the high schools yeah. have more space.
Yeah,
right. Since that's already in place for evacuation shelters, I would utilize that.
Sometimes.
Which high will, school for us, though?
Yeah.
All of them? How are we going to get to Northeast when you yeah. know that thing's going to be flooded?
Make that notification to eBay.
Yeah, that's part of it, that's is that we're saying. Here or we're not.
It would be
we're gonna get
them
schools.
You know, yes. We're not. That's central office, but we wouldn't have the everything prepared. Like it sounds like the high schools are prepared for that.
Right.
It's a good question for us as a town too. Of like, what do we need to have prepared? And like that, for a kit, an emergency, like what?
Like, yeah.
Where waters, in the town, where it'll be, whether it be walkie-talkies, right. Whether it'll be like what kinds of things?
Yeah,
do we need to communicate.
They'd have all that. The waters, the blankets, the
a lot of the stuff the county can provide and the mass right. shelter folks can provide as well. So that's where you need to make the decision of, are we staying or are we going?
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going, you know that the county can support what you're trying to accomplish. If you're staying, then yes, I would recommend what George had suggested, which is the FEMA build your own kit situation.
Right.
But it also gets tricky because what if their power goes out, then there's some pump doesn't work,
right.
Then they're trapped, and then a whole laundry list and everything crumbles down, where it could have just been simpler, just evac, pull the plug, and remove yourself from the situation.
Like, wouldn't it be both scenarios, like hunkering down and evacuation? Like, I don't think we would get everybody to do one or the other.
It's a contradictory message. No,
I get that.
You're not going to get.
Seems like we're going
to. You're not going to get a lot of these folks to leave.
Have a backup.
To the moon. You're not.
But you can at least
the majority of
what to have. Make sure you have the water, especially. Yeah.
Well, then you can put that into your policy of if this occurs, know that at a certain threshold, the town will not make the response to help out.
What to have.
That's in some of the Florida fire departments standard procedures. Yeah. We get 75 miles an hour.
But you need to put themselves at risk.
But if you want to, here's what you need to have.
Yeah, everyone.
I wrote education way up here.
Because wildfires, if you were doing construction on your house, that was part of the building inspection. When the house was completed, that you had your emergency kit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was wow. It was that strict because if you were in the fire.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but.
This back to Brian, what we had brought up today of know your zone. You guys are in zone B. So you can utilize that reference from MDOM of saying, hey, we're in X zone. You can relay that up to us. We can relay it to the state. Town? Yes.
Because I thought the waterfront was A.
It's on B.
Okay.
Yeah. The only A in the county is down near Earlville, southern part out a little bit.
That's for hurricane specifically.
Right? Yes.
We're in zone B.
Cool. But it brings a reference of where are your flooding areas going to be. Quick little easy reference.
Watch out, stormwater plan.
Yeah, that's
exactly. Remember the county putting out those little postcards.
Mm-hmm. So out them out.
See? Mm-hmm. We should put those on our own.
I know.
We'll brush your rack over there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to be realistic. Everybody lives here. They pay flood insurance where they know it's going to flood.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah, flood insurance is crazy.
Yeah, people living with the water. Wow, you're right.
You just got the ones that need the help and are going to take the help. Mm-hmm. We're there to help them. The ones that say, I'm good.
It's the ones that are new.
Mm-hmm.
That don't understand
how bad it can get.
You know, I would recommend making if you do sandbags, at least 4 feet tall, doing it that way. I mean, I don't know how many sandbags you want to order. I don't know, 1,000 or something. Mm-hmm. Best way that I found out by going on deployments, you just take a construction cone, turn it upside down, mm-hmm. and then use that as a cone and put the bag right underneath it and just throw the sand in there.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah, it's like a giant funnel, very slick. Mm-hmm.
We were told each person had to do 2 bags per. So then if you multiply that by everybody else, then you got everybody chipping in.
Yeah.
You got your 1,000 sandbags to blow away.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm jumping ahead here on the planning, but in our brainstorming, when we are done with our plan, and if you want to make like a little video or something with some of the high points, I can mm-hmm. share that with our community. And that'll get out to all the young families.
Right. A lot of the new.
Yeah.
A lot of the new families.
Videos get watched a lot. Because I normally track how many hits I get. And I get a lot of those. When I need to really drive something home, I video myself. Which I don't like. But I do.
The message will get home.
Because I know the message will get home.
Yes.
Yeah. Honestly, the truth, there's a lot of reading that gets thrown to people, like, and oh, read this sample, so go do this. Go
yeah,
do this.
And they don't. Oh, I will.
That's that way.
No.
You know, there's a lot of people that aren't.
That's not their strongest
mechanism. Yeah. We're all been had more practice being auditory learners for things we watch. Or
mm-hmm.
So.
And they just like watching you.
60 seconds, 30 seconds.
30.
Yeah.
Then to add, you said that you have your own like checklist in all the rooms. Maybe I don't know how much you want to look into investing that. Let's figure that out with all the residents. Say, hey, here's your emergency operations plan. How about we can all reference it?
That's a great idea because then it's up to
reference them. Page 12.
To be able to
we're going to alert you on page 12. So reference that. So here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
When
we were setting up, as it goes way back, but when we set up all the different codes, the red, yellow, green, and all that for the schools. Bud Donovan and I and the school board did that. And everybody had and it was for all the schools. Everybody had the exact same one. So you could call out a red, or you could call out a yellow, or you could call out a... That's kind of what I was hoping we could do with this.
Yeah.
And that way, if we said, well, it's yellow or it's blue, or it's, and you know exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Every single person. We didn't have to even.
You could
yeah,
fly,
it could just be.
Fly
you
know, flag
you could even. Exactly. You could just say, hey, today's a yellow.
If we have
or,
no,
you know,
no
and it's like, because people are so visual now instead of listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and once and it's we like, do these videos, like you said, she could put them out. We can get them up on our social media. We can get them on our webpage.
Right.
Get them to HOAs.
Yeah.
And the HOAs and everywhere, put it out there. Because like I said, I know that I did the walking thing when the last one I did was Sandy. And I was walking around to everybody. That just missed us. But I was walking around and I'm telling you, 99% of the people are like, live here. I said, I still have to give you the information.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, oh, it's okay. I'm fine.
Yes, yeah,
you may not be next time.
And then you have what happened at Isabel.
Right. That you know, if we're flying.
Everybody was ready for that.
Right.
Okay? Oh, but that was the perfect thing. Okay.
Yeah.
This is Saratoga Street.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
take a pile and test it.
Oh, all right. So
was that a tropical storm or depression or
it was a tropical storm.
Got
here,
right?
But it by the time it got here,
it's
like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. It pulled all the water out.
Yeah.
And then, because it was a full moon, and it was super tide, and the surge rolled back in on top of that. I said 8 feet, but the thing on we looked it up yesterday. Yeah. It was 9 feet.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, I've traveled with storm flags.
It was crazy.
Let's get some.
But when it went out. Literally, you could have probably walked.
Yeah,
we were out there.
Yeah, and it was like, it was crazy. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. Yeah, we were like, where's the water? But then we knew how bad it was going to be.
Sure.
Because what went out had to come back in.
Came back.
And it was coming back in with our tide. Which was the bad part. It couldn't come back in on a low tide. It was coming back in on a high tide.
Unless you want to be the guy that lives in Holloway. Oh, I felt so bad for him. He was restoring his house. Bobby, do you remember him? The guy that was on the water that just bought the cottage and sprayed foam under his house? And when the water came in, it picked the house up where everybody else's being. So, everybody that lived down there was trying to tie the house because as the water.
It was
funny.
True
story.
It,
just,
it,
and when they tried to.
The propane tanks that
were tied in the trees.
Oh, that's the other thing. Propane tanks.
The oil tanks were tied in the trees.
Yeah, anchor them down.
We had a group happening down here.
Wow. It was fun down there.
From Chevron Gas.
Wow.
Speaking of generators, I had my generator in a rowboat during that storm, running in a rowboat. Just telling you, that's what was happening.
Nice.
I think we mentioned this before in one of the meetings. You guys have your own docks that Charlestown has.
Mm-hmm.
One of the meetings I went to, it talked about post-hurricane recovery actions.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you guys want to make a regulation, law, stipulation for that of having the boat owners having GPS or something. So how are you going to recover those boats if they sank or doing something? So if you go over recovery and you ping it, then you know exactly where it is. And it'll come up as who owns it, who registers it. And then coming up with an idea of how we're going to get that from underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So having a contractor on standby, and Maryland Department of Natural Resources has a means of doing that for recovery, but just having that in there of a plan in place. So as you're doing this, you also want to look at the recovery aspect and looking at your demographics. And you guys remember Fukushima in Japan?
Mm-hmm.
So a case study based on that was the fact that a lot of their community was elderly based. And a lot of the younger people went out, left the older generation. With that meant like fixed income, not as much amenities, not as much income back into the town, which meant that the town that they were in slowly decayed. Mm-hmm. So you want to think about, how are you going to entice the people to come back to Charlestown if there was a disaster? Mm-hmm. How are you going to support Charlestown and bring that back to as it was before?
Yeah.
That's getting deep.
Yeah. Well, we have lots of young people that just moved in.
True.
It's getting real deep.
So they're going to want us to fix it.
So through this brainstorming, because right now I'm up to 42 things on here. 42 tasks. 42 tasks. Is there anything else anybody can think of?
I don't know if you wrote it down, but I like the idea of exercises that incorporate into the community.
I got that.
Good.
Mm-hmm. I got that. I think an important part is that education.
I got that on your plate. Just like you're saying, education, education, education.
Although we have generators at the wells and stuff like that, do we need to stockpile bottled water somewhere?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could probably help with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
They just did this on post. Did you get any of that traffic? They just did, for Hartford County, I guess, sent out information about the workforce, how much of all of that. So we would have to do, or is there help for a survey on how to get the right numbers of everything?
For the ones that don't know, I do kind of work with Jackie. She is the manager for housing. On post, so she sees a lot of the stuff that we do here.
It's very similar.
There's something that happened. She happened to come through my office today, and I'm like,
But that's my question. I don't know if that's an entity, because I was asked to provide information so they could get the numbers right for vaccines and supplies and food and all that, because. Yeah. If there was an emergency like that, then they would call in the right resources, and they wanted a count. So
that would be for the public health, and they would have that. So
well, for vaccines, for sure. But we're talking, you know, water bottles or any of that. We need to.
I would. Yeah, it depends on which angle you want to get with as well. So if you want to stay in play, then yes, I would agree that. You guys should consider that of a stockpile of resources. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do defensive, then the county can supply all that information for you. Mm-hmm. So if you know that you're going to ingest 100 people here, another 200 people here, 300 people here, then we can plan for all of that already in place. We can pre-plan for that. The Red Cross comes in, then schools apparently are supposed to come in for their cafeteria staff at all the high schools. All that's all pre-planned. Mm-hmm. So you guys just got to have to consider which direction you want to go with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But yeah, vaccines, we're going to have to put that in there too eventually. Great.
Just like anything, back and forth, just let us know what you guys are thinking, and then we can spin up the resources and let them know, hey, Charlestown's evac, and let's start sending the buses in, get an early start, spin up the high schools, let's get this going. So we got to notify our partners too.
Right.
Any particular parts we should review of the recent county hazard mitigation plan? Kind of tie into
what toward the bottom. Toward the bottom, where it gives like little. It's like an org chart, and it talks about like suggested things to improve upon.
Yeah.
There's items in there that it can be resourceful for you guys to look at. That's in the hazard mitigation plan. It is, but I'm not 100% sure if it all works out with the zip file. But I know you have a copy of it from the fall.
I can share it
up. Yeah.
Well, it's pretty large. We can definitely have a evacuation and something here for the people. It's not gonna leave also. That way we don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now that we've talked,
you have to have both.
And this is, I'm not finished with this conversation, but
now do you see why we need to do things? Because it's not just, I mean, flooding is a major thing. Electric is another, but we also have to consider our computers. We need to consider communication. We do really need to seriously look into a better communication to our residents. To do like a reverse 911 or something of that nature. We need to also look at how we will continue as a town hall if something happens here. Where are we going? Where is the next step? If something, a tree falls on this building or lightning hits like we had this past year, the the freaky lightning, okay, where is town hall going? So there's a lot of things that we have to think about. Is there anybody else that would like to add to our to my lengthy list of things to start to think about?
That's quite a bit.
If it helps to generate some more ideas, there's the whole emergency management wheel thing. So it starts out with like your mitigation, your preparedness section, your response, and then your recovery aspect. So in a sense, you can jot outlines of, hey, this stuff works in this column, this stuff works in this section, this stuff works in this section. And then just like expanding it out a little bit to help you build out your EOP for those specific sections. When we're thinking about a preparedness, we're talking about water bottles, we're talking about sandbags. So that can be in a place for that. Your response, your fire companies, your emergency services, your first responders, your recovery, how is the town going to recover, your COOP plan, and ideas you just mentioned there with your electronics and stuff.
I shouldn't take training and come do this, should I?
We probably should recruit a volunteer Navy. People that we know have boats and get them lined up. And ready, standing by in the
case. I have like a resident list of the ones that have the kayaks and the smaller boats.
Yeah.
And the jet skis, because they were running jet skis.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well, yeah. And you need a list
of the and the four wheeler.
Not just golf, but four wheelers and tractors.
Mentioned that Gator will get it. You just do search like FEMA, cycle, management. If you really want to get in depth with that idea, you can use like a checklist. Like right now, you're spinning into hurricane season. So if you did have that list, reach out to those specific people and be like, hey, in case of emergency, do you have X on standby? Right. How many life jackets do you have? How much fuel are you prepared to stage? So then you know without a shadow of a doubt that they're right.
I mean, it's interesting. You can't get fuel on this side of the river. You can only get it on the other side of the river.
We have a stockpile of fuel if it came to something like that where somebody ran out. We have a diesel and we have gas.
Charlestown doesn't have it anymore.
I thought Charlestown Marina had
gas.
They have gas.
We tried to. I thought we tried to buy gas there and we weren't allowed to or something. Maybe because we're not slip holders.
We do have some that could get help. Unfortunately, people get out if they had to, you know, renew fuel for like a generator.
Just
give it out. It's over if need be. We need to get it. At least you're alive.
Have barricades, Bobby, to put up where the road floods?
I don't have a whole. I could make some more. We could actually. I have 8 of them now. Wouldn't be bad to have maybe 16 of them.
I'm thinking it might be good for that.
Yes.
I mean,
I learned also with Isabel, one of the lessons learned is at the campgrounds, if they have gates, they need to shut the gates because things were coming from the campers and there were propane tanks and they were coming through and they were, there was a lot there. So that was something that they said that when the big storms come in, they have to shut. Now I know the manor, they actually move those campers when that happens, they move them closer to the road.
Right.
they don't do that over in Holloway, but.
Some kind of ordinance where they have to be actually anchored so that can't happen.
The anchoring of the propane.
We already have one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, but,
yeah, nobody does, right?
The campers.
You got to be road ready, or else you're a house and you got to be elevated.
No, we're talking about the propane tank, so.
Talking about campers.
Campers, yeah.
They were invited to this too, campground lounge.
Did you invite the restaurants? Because yesterday Bobby didn't know, and I thought.
I just invited them today.
Well, that's a little difficult.
But I said, we're just getting started. We're going to loop you in, right? You're connected now. That's why I keep asking, is there somebody here?
Yeah.
Somebody not here who should be?
All of the churches,
mm-hmm.
the marinas, mm-hmm. and the two restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And also the other business outside of town of
mm-hmm.
Youngblood.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Youngblood and Tom Hall. Mm-hmm.
Youngblood, that, because that's a lot that could be used if we need to.
Mm-hmm.
How hard would it be to flood up by the tower?
Bobby, has it ever gotten wet up at the tower?
Like,
what now? Flooding, because it's one of the highest spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The school's a high spot. The tower's a high spot.
Mm-hmm.
The highest spot in the town, believe it or not, we found out, is over by Dave Gordon's house, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually the highest place in town.
Oh, yeah, because it's...
So, mm-hmm. with looking at that level and looking at that level, yeah, the school, the water tower, mm-hmm. Dave Gordon's, they're all the highest.
But I'm thinking
and you're that, the lowest, and so am I.
I know.
I just figured
out. I'm one of the lowest. We figured it out. You were what? Inches I'm lower than me?
I'm still the lowest.
I said, nah, and we looked. He is just as
there's
much
already room. Electric and internet and everything right there. I know that's not the easiest place to get to, but you might want to look at something there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you do have an office, at least, mm-hmm. in there.
My phone line's down right now, but I do have an appearance on it. If it was ever needed, if things went down here and you needed one, jump up in there, it wouldn't matter. If there's internet, you can use laptops. Yeah, it's good. But, yeah.
Okay.
Because it is a hot spot. But I swear, I just felt that the school was always the hot point, that elementary school. Because mm-hmm. when I was raising my kid,
I think that was
when I raised my kid there. I was
that's part
that if we flooded down here to get them kids and get them school. To elementary school.
Yeah, but that I think that might have been, but it might not have continued. Okay, and that's what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. That we need to be more community based because it's a community school.
It could be up to the individual principal.
That could, yeah. That's
what it was said there. I know that it was.
Yeah, yes.
It was told to us.
Yeah,
we were told to go.
Couldn't get out. That's where he went.
Yep, that's right. Go to the school.
So we're in agreement. The restaurants, the churches, school, the marinas, Youngblood.
Yep. Fire company.
Fire company. Mm-hmm. Sheriff.
Mike.
The Stewarts. The Or mm-hmm. sand, if we needed sand.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I just spoke to them today.
Who is that?
George, are we missing anybody? Is he still there?
The Stewart family. Yeah. I don't can't remember the name of the business. The quarry.
Yeah,
York.
If you need excavating equipment, things like that, that would be county resources. They probably have a resource guide. Mm-hmm. So you might be able to use them rather than try to do it all yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you run out of resources, you'll be asking the county for them anyways. And I think there's a resource guide in there, Mike.
Yes. Or if not, we can certainly get you the resource that you need.
I also think that bringing the other ones in, they could have ideas that we haven't even talked about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. for this board, why don't we look at what we were given? If you can get us, can you print us the Perryville one right now? So, and also email it so I can play with it.
Yeah, you guys got it in email.
Can you print it for us? Thank you for everybody that had input for this. George, is it okay for you to come back next month and we can talk a little more?
What's the date?
It'll be the...
We'll be at MML.
We won't have a meeting next month. It'll be in July.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hang on.
My phone.
I got the calendar. It's July 11th.
No, the next one. The
second one.
It's the second meeting. July 25th.
That should be fine.
Okay. So we can... July 25th, we'll send out an invite to everybody for July 25th to continue this conversation. And if the board, and I know you said you're not going to be here, but if you have any input,
I'll make up.
Okay. We can meet with us. I think this is a good start.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of learning to do here. And we can get this going. Like I said, it's not going to be.
It's going to be some time.
It's going to be a couple months to get even to
stand up.
Okay. But this is good. And even if the board, if we're making changes or we think of anything, let's put it around to each other so that we can get this written. Okay. And anybody else that was contributing to this, if you can think of anything that we haven't thought, please reach out. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, George.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If there isn't anything else, I know the residents have been listening. Is there any resident that you public comment on what we're talking about? Since everybody's involved with it, we need everybody involved with it.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hey, Soda Pop, have any comment for us? Who is it?
Yeah, my name's Rob Soda. You might want to get some of the public involved with it. They might have some opinions.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Sorry, Rob, what did you say? Get the public involved?
Yes, get the public involved.
Just like a citizen.
Awareness. More people that know about it, better off you're going to be.
Do you have any suggestions on how?
Send out a newsletter. You guys had newsletters you sent out or post on your page.
To have educational awareness. And
mm-hmm.
We could set up meetings that the public can come, that we can talk about more for education and their input as we're going further with this. That is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could set up a project webpage. We could probably even come out with a survey when it seems appropriate, start getting people's opinions. We could have a community workshop.
Mm-hmm.
I like a community workshop idea.
Mm-hmm.
They used to do a newcomers briefing on the installation, and they had vendors, if you will. But one of them was... it was the APG's version of, I just remember yellow and black, and they gave you a calendar. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. And it was like every month you focus on this emergency preparedness thing. Here's how you build a kit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that
sounds like? Maybe the chemical side?
I'm not sure. I'll have to see if I can find it. But if we did a community event like that, maybe we could get people from FEMA or from the county or from different entities to help build the knowledge base that they can pull from. I have to find my calendar. They don't do it anymore.
We tend not to involve FEMA if we don't have to.
Okay. like that, but it looks more.
I agree. Is there anybody
else? You could probably get some interaction National Night Out too.
What is it, George?
If you do National Night Out, you could get some interaction with the local people too. If you set up a table and put information out.
Yeah,
that is something thinking. That we could do.
Yeah,
and there's time to plan it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
First week, first Tuesday.
That's right around the corner.
Rob, are you okay? Did you have anything else you wanted to add? Okay.
Yes.
Ursula.
I think we're gonna hear
from Ursula. Pope's iPad. Oh, Rob, were you still there?
Yeah, I couldn't. So are we talking other topics, or are you still on the emergency prep stuff?
Talking about this. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Pope's iPad. Julie, did you have anything?
Nothing for me, thank you.
Okay. Tom?
Nope.
He's getting
better.
Okay. Go.
All right. This is a very good, our first working meeting. I think it was a very good start. And this is some things that I would like to continue with. And this is going to be on at least part of ours as we go forward. But these are things that we're going to be working on that don't get done that we need to continue with. Or if we have a big project that's coming up that we need to talk more at length instead of here it is, you have 5 minutes to look at it. We're not going to vote on it today. Okay. It's not going to happen. Okay. So is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
A second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody. Meeting is adjourned.